On this evening's edition of Locked On Broncos, we're going to take to Twitter to engage in fan feedback. Obviously, I tweeted out earlier for fans of the Broncos or fans in general of NFL football to send me their tweets regarding all things and everything Denver Broncos. And so we're going to go through that here tonight. Going to answer some questions that were asked on Twitter at Locked On Broncos, at Cody Work NFL. And we're going to break it down, go a little in depth, and look a little bit ahead to the Oakland Raiders coming to town this Sunday against the Denver Broncos. All that, much more on tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and tonight we're going to break down some fan questions, fan feedback from the Twitter sphere. Earlier today, I went on Twitter and I asked fans, tweet me all things, your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns regarding the Denver Broncos with the Bills game or looking ahead in the Raiders game, or some general concerns overall that they had with the Denver Broncos. And obviously, we're going to get that started off right now. I got Andrew K at CO Sports Nut. He asked me, he said, do you think Buffalo exposed some of our weaknesses, or do you chalk it up to a bad day? Also, is Jamal Charles earning more carries? Now, when I go through and I think about this question, I went back and I watched the Buffalo film, and they did a very good job at just stacking the box and playing the edge. They had a very good defensive package that I felt really hindered the Denver Broncos' opportunities to convert a lot of good chances. Now, a lot of it is due to lining up. Obviously, game situations, when you find yourself having to start on with a first and 15, that's never a good thing. Or if you only get, you know, if you lose yards on a carry on a first down, you find yourself in a second and about 13. Those aren't ideal starters for the Denver Broncos. And ideally, you got to mix up a little bit of balance of the play call. So when I went back to the Buffalo game, I watched their defense. Like I said, you got to tip your hats off to the Buffalo Bills defense. They played absolutely phenomenal against a pretty good Broncos team. Now, to answer your question, Andrew, I think that the Buffalo Bills did something that I think provided a good test for the Denver Broncos, obviously offensive system and coaches overall as well, coaches and players. And the reason I say that is because we saw the Denver Broncos against the Los Angeles Chargers and against the Dallas Cowboys technically do whatever they wanted to do on offense. This week, it was the complete opposite. They didn't really get to do what they wanted to do offensively in the scheme they came out in. It just didn't seemed like it was working. And so obviously you add in the element of crowd noise with Buffalo. Like I said, they have a phenomenal fan base, very loud, and the Denver Broncos struggled with that early on, obviously getting a false start on the first drive, back them up, you know, stuff like that hurts on the road, especially in a 10-point game where you lose and you have two turnovers. So I think Buffalo did a good job at kind of playing to the strengths of what they had with their young defense, especially against the offensive weapons that the Denver Broncos have with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Benny Fowler. And let me tell you something, I'm very impressed so far early on with Benny Fowler and what he's been able to do. Obviously, he had that concussion scare against the Dallas Cowboys, but he cleared protocol. He was a go on Sunday, and he had several big catches. And so Benny Fowler is looking like the number three wide receiver the Denver Broncos desperately have needed in a long time. So I'm very impressed, very happy with what the Broncos have with Benny Fowler. So I think Buffalo exposed some areas. Obviously, I think a lot of it was they knew that Menelik Watson-Saito was one that was susceptible to creating pressure, so they did blitz a backer or a safety off the edge of Menelik Watson alongside with, you know, obviously the D-end or the pass rusher out there. And then what they did is they also blitzed a nickel guy backside. So at that point, you have your pocket kind of collapsing from one side because Menelik Watson struggled with picking up guys on the inside, or they're too quick on the outside, and it causes Trevor Siemian to have to bow out a little bit more outside of the pocket and try to either throw the ball away or extend it. You know, early on in the first half, Trevor Siemian did a good job of going out there and extending it a little bit, extending plays and finding guys open. In the second half, it just seemed like the Broncos' offensive confidence was absolutely low and it wasn't there. I mean, the energy was non-existent for the Denver Broncos offense in the second half. And obviously, you know, Trevor Siemian had that one throw where he went to go throw it out of bounds and it was telegraphed. There was not enough heat on the ball, or it wasn't even high enough, and the Buffalo Bills defensive back came and intercepted it. That's an absolutely terrible play that you cannot have on the road, and that was a huge difference maker for the Buffalo Bills, and it killed any momentum that the Denver Broncos had. And at that point, you know, the run game was working. It was working really well, but they had to go away from it because guess what? You just turned the ball over. Now the Buffalo Bills offense is driving. The Denver Broncos defense struggled in making tackles, especially on LeSean McCoy, even Tyrod Taylor. There's several times Shaquille Barrett had this great play where it looked like he was going to have Tyrod Taylor for a sack, but Tyrod Taylor crouched down low and he spun out of it, and it just makes you wonder, like, those are the plays that are going to kill you on the road. And unfortunately, it did hurt the Denver Broncos. When you go through and you ask, Andrew asks, is Charles earning more carries? I absolutely think he did based on how he ran this week. C.J. Anderson ran the ball really well, but Jamaal Charles for the Broncos in this game against the Bills was that difference maker. He was that change of pace guy, and he ran really hard, especially on that touchdown round.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
That he embraced contact. He kept his feet moving like you preach and hope every running back does, and he just carried the ball forward. I thought he earned some more playing time, especially with Devontae Booker coming back from injury. I do think that Devontae Booker's got to take a backseat to Jamaal Charles. Jamaal Charles is looking pretty good, and it's a perfect change of pace. Unless the Broncos plan on going with a 3-back rotation, you know, I don't see the harm in that, but Jamaal Charles definitely has earned a few more carries per game, in my opinion, based on how he played in this game. And also, we're going to look at, let's see, the question comes in from Scott Coleman at ScottyCo21, my man. So, Scotty, let me tell you guys about Scott Coleman, okay? Scott Coleman has been an avid listener of Locked On Broncos, okay? We're going to start doing this thing here on Fridays here soon, as soon as my high school football coaching season is up, which we only have about 6 or something weeks, but we can get something going here very shortly when we have a Saturday game. But I'm going to start doing here on Locked On Broncos, I'm doing a Fan Friday. And the Fan Friday segment is all about you guys who listen to the Denver Broncos, okay? So, obviously, the first Fan Friday that we're going to have is going to be with Newt Scamander. Okay, Vans on the Moon 44. He's the contest winner for the Locked On Broncos contest where he got all the trivia questions right. And him and Scotty Coleman actually got the trivia questions right almost in the same exact time. So I'm giving it to both of them. So Newt Scamander is going to be on our first edition of Fan Friday Locked On Broncos, and then Scott Coleman is going to be the next guy. But I'm going to have more guys on. Obviously, it's going to be a new feature segment every week, Fan Friday. Get a fan on here. We're going to talk about your history as a fan, your favorite moments, as well as ask you a little bit of questions about the Denver Broncos and what you expect or what you think the Denver Broncos should do against whatever opponent they're playing that week. So we're going to do that here on Locked On Broncos. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be a big thing. Like I said, I appreciate you guys who listen to the show, who take the time to tweet me, join me on my halftime, and post-game periscopes. That means a lot to me, and I really enjoy engaging with you guys. You guys make the show what it is. And if you haven't already subscribed, please head on over to iTunes right now. Leave a review and subscribe to the show, but leave a review and leave your Twitter handle in your review. When you do that, Pro Football Focus will go around and they will select a random winner for a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, you get a $39.99 Pro Football Focus subscription for absolutely free just for being a fan and leaving a review on the show. So go to iTunes right now, leave a review, leave your Twitter handle, and you could potentially win a Pro Football Focus Edge subscription powered by the Locked On Podcast Network and Pro Football Focus. So to get to my next question, Scott Coleman asks, What's stopping the offense from clicking consistently? You know, I think we saw the first real big test that the Denver Broncos truly had offensively in terms of consistency. Now, weeks one, weeks two, they had several drives where obviously they didn't really punt the ball at all against, you know, once against the Los Angeles Chargers. But, I mean, they had a couple punts against the Dallas Cowboys, but we really didn't see any inconsistency in those first 2 weeks. Now, we got to Buffalo, and a lot of it almost, it was like a reversal. It was almost like we had Rick Dennison from last year as our offensive coordinator again, especially with some of the play calls. What's happened? And when you go back and you look at the game tape, there wasn't no flow. There was zero establishment of flow in the entire game offensively for the Broncos. Now, there were some drive killers, and obviously I'm talking about penalties. I'm talking about holding calls, false starts, blocks in the back. I'm talking about missed throws. And obviously I'm not going to blame officiating ever. I will never blame officials, even if they're terrible, okay? But that catch that Emmanuel Sanders had that they ruled incomplete, that was an absolute killer. And I think after that moment, the Denver Broncos offense became deflated. Now, I want to hear your thoughts on that. You know, after that play, was the Denver Broncos offense deflated? Tweet me your thoughts at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos. You know, I just think that, you know, in the game against Buffalo, there was no consistent flow, and I think it was because you lost momentum and there were different elements that pretty much prohibited you from moving the ball and being effective. So, you know, I think that we might see some more consistency, more balance in the run game, pass game, obviously going up against the Oakland Raiders here very soon. So, you know, I think after this next game, we can make that adjustment and we can maybe talk about consistency a little more if the Denver Broncos offense sputters, especially against a tough Raiders defense with Khalil Mack, who obviously causes a lot of pressure and a lot of headaches for offensive coordinators. Now, our next question comes from Daniel Andrews at Dan Rules USUC. Now, his question was more talking about, you know, obviously the plus minus number, a minus 2.5. He says, what do you think presents the biggest problem next week? And I asked him, he's a Chiefs guy. He tunes into Locked On Broncos and he's always given great questions and is unbiased from a different, you know, from a different opponent's team perspective. And he asked, you know, what do you think's the biggest problem with, you know, the Denver Broncos matching up against the Oakland Raiders this weekend? And I'd have to say, ideally, I need the Denver Broncos secondary to respond and to have a better game than they did against the Buffalo Bills wide receivers. Now, Amari Cooper himself has struggled tremendously this season. He hasn't looked like himself. He's struggled. And then obviously you got to worry about a guy like Michael Crabtree as well. And some of these other, and Josh Roberts, receivers that they have that can make big plays from Derek Carr. And then obviously you have Marshawn Lynch at the running back position. So the Denver Broncos have to do a better job this week of tackling. They struggled against the Buffalo Bills late in the second half when it comes in terms of gang tackling and making sure that one guy wraps up and the rest of the team and the defense flows to the ball and they help bring him down as well. Marshawn Lynch is a load and you definitely got to be careful with Marshawn Lynch, especially in short goal line, short situations, even short goal line situations. You know, you got to see a fact that they have a guy like Marshawn who they're going to probably give the ball to. And, you know, if it's a first down, maybe they will throw it to Amari Cooper or a tight end. But the Denver Broncos secondary, especially the safeties, have to have a better game this week. And obviously you have to get to Derek Carr. Now, the offense for the Oakland Raiders, while it has struggled a little bit, you can't discount how they played against the Washington Redskins or how they played against the Tennessee Titans. They're still, obviously, each team I feel like is still gelling a little bit, still trying to get that complete chemistry down on the field, and I think that's what we're going to see. This is a divisional game against a very hated divisional rival with the Oakland Raiders. It's going to be a slobber knocker like it always is. It's never an easy game. It's always a physical, chip battle, and we got to see if the Denver Broncos can come out this week and actually, you know, put together four quarters of error-free football against a very good Oakland Raiders team. And I think a lot of it starts with matching up. Obviously, DBs, Chris Harris Jr., I think you match him up on Amari Cooper and you put Aqib Talib on Michael Crabtree. We're going to see Debo versus Crabtree once again. This, you know, and hopefully this time Crabtree doesn't have his chain on. That wouldn't be a good idea. But these guys have a lot of bad blood towards each other, especially Crabtree and Talib. If I remember correctly, after the game last year where Talib snatched his chain, he wasn't very happy about it. He said if they weren't in the playoffs, they probably would have fought. I highly doubt that. But like we said, if Aqib Talib can get under Michael Crabtree's skin, he's already won the battle because we saw Josh Norman get into Michael Crabtree's head as well. And Amari Cooper struggled. So, You know, you can't discount how they played against the Washington Redskins at all. And you can't discount, obviously, how the Denver Broncos played against the Buffalo Bills. Both of these teams are going to go into this week. Heavy preparation. Obviously, Jack Del Rio is going to have his guys fired up. Vance Joseph's going to have his guys fired up. They got to come out and they just got to respond and play consistent football for about 60 minutes. And if they can do that and they can, you know, limit mistakes, I think turnovers in this game, especially a division game with a quarterback in Derek Carr, who's pretty dang good, and Trevor Siemian, who's still working, improving, and he's also looked very good this season. The team that can limit the turnovers, in my opinion, is going to be the team that comes out on top. Obviously, you got to win the turnover battle, so you don't want to be the team that turns the ball over at all. And he also said, Daniel Andrews also said, I have been telling everyone it's KC, Denver, Oakland, LAC. Denver is the team we need to worry about. You know, and when I look at the AFC West, we've talked about this before. You know, when you go through, you know, the list of teams, and the Chargers actually competed pretty well against the Chiefs last week. And obviously, you know, big plays and turnovers are a difference maker in any football game. And the Chiefs came out on top. You know, I think we got to look at a lot of different things with how competitive the division is. And the Raiders, while they struggled against Washington, the Broncos struggled against the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, the Los Angeles Chargers, year in and year out, in my opinion, have this up and down kind of faltering relationship. And they just can't stay healthy. They get guys who get hurt. Obviously, Jason Verrett, cornerback, he's hurt. And he's done for the year with a knee injury. He went on IR. That's bad for the, you know, them. So obviously the teams that can stay healthy, that's big. So I would look for Derek Carr to try to look for Amari Cooper maybe early and often. Maybe the Raiders will take a deep shot in the first part of the game to just test the Denver Broncos defense. But obviously the run defense has to swarm and has to fill their gaps. So they play their gap containment like, you know, like they did against the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, realistically, when I watched the Broncos game against the Buffalo Bills, I didn't really see a lot of gap integrity in terms of, you know, guys being in there, you know, punching their gap shade, obviously the right shoulder. So you don't jab, you know, as a D lineman, you don't catch. You can't catch an offensive tackle or an offensive guard or center. You can't catch him in the middle because then they're just going to turn you. You have to attack your gap shade and you have to make sure you cause a little bit of havoc. Hill line depth. And we didn't see that because I think the team was a little worried about Tyrod Taylor's ability to hurt them on the run. So,
hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings, much more. Geico's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with Geico, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than Geico. More power to you. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Denver Broncos don't really have to worry about that with Derek Carr, but Derek Carr is pretty good with scrambling and getting the ball out. So if you can get pressure on Derek Carr, you're going to have a lot of success against the Oakland Raiders, but you got to get there. And you can't have drives where you almost get to him and he's allowed to throw the ball. You know, defensive backs can't cover for more than 6 or 7 seconds. You got to get pressure on there, make it a lot harder for the quarterback to get the ball out, disrupt the timing, and the Denver Broncos will come out on top. Now, the last question we're going to answer here on tonight's edition of Locked On Broncos is from Dave Scott at Tank2521. He asked me, or he says, Menelik Watson can't hold off Khalil Mack on his own. What do you think they can do? Now, I absolutely agree. I think if I'm a defensive coordinator, if I'm Jack Del Rio, I'm doing whatever I can as a head coach or a D coordinator to put Khalil Mack on the tackle side that is the weakest link for the opposing offense. And surely enough, as they've done in years past, they'll put Khalil Mack on the weak side tackle, whichever it, what, one year it was Tyson Brailo, the other year it was Michael Schofield. This year it's Menelik Watson, and they have some familiarity with each other due to the fact that they played on the same team. Now, Khalil Mack may know a lot about Menelik Watson. A lot of teams do by watching film, but also Menelik Watson, we can't discount. He may know some stuff, some tendencies that obviously Khalil Mack may utilize. So this is a matchup I look at. You obviously can't leave Menelik Watson out there one-on-one with Khalil Mack. So I think what the Denver Broncos will do, they may go some double tight this week, but ideally I see them leaving a tight end on the line of scrimmage and also helping out with a chip with the running back Jamal Charles, CJ Anderson in run protection. I think those are going to be things that we see in order to take the pressure off Menelik Watson and obviously getting beat against a quick pass rush. Now, Khalil Mack does a great job at getting his hands up and trying to bat the ball down. You cannot let him do that. So that starts with the offensive tackle. That starts with the tight end and the tackle. tackle, if they're going to double team him, they got to engage him. They can't just let him stand up free. And it starts with striking him and obviously in his shade, his inside shade or outside shade, and turning him. But the run game has to get going. Take the pressure off of, you know, Trevor Siemian to throw the ball, especially against a pretty solid pass rush. And obviously they got a guy like Bruce Irvin. He's not a legend yet, but he's a veteran guy who's been out there for a long time. And they have a pretty solid young secondary down there in Oakland. So those are my keys for the Denver Broncos, obviously, that they have to achieve this week in order to be successful against the Oakland Raiders. So that will do it for this edition of Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, before we get off air, I want to remind you, if you haven't already, head on over to Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL for all the latest national NFL news and updates, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Matt Williamson, he runs a great show over there. Go over there on iTunes, subscribe to that, and leave a review for that. I like to know what's going on with all the NFL teams, and some shows don't have a Locked On, you know, Locked On Colts or a Locked On, you know, Bills or anything like that. They don't have a Locked On Broncos outlet just like we do. Yeah, there are some teams out there that don't have that. And I stay in the loop by going to Locked On NFL and hearing from Matt Williamson. And he interviews some great guys and breaks down some key matchups week to week. Head on over there, Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL. This is your host, Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, saying good night and go Broncos.